Life is sweet. Let it sweep you off your feet.
Hi, you're listening to Find Your Joy. If you're looking for ways to thrive rather than survive in a world that can seem rather chaotic, you're in the right place. We will be sharing stories of our own as well as those from guests who have found ways to bring hope, healing, and freedom into places where trauma has impacted them. I'm Allie, author of The Art of Healing Trauma, and I'm here to remind you that life is sweet. Now, let's dive in and find ways to create our joy.
Hi, this is Allie in Find Your Joy, and we have a wonderful guest that I've met through someone else, and we've kind of known each other for a little while, but only through Facebook. And today I'm really, really grateful because we have with us Ali Olshan, and he's coming to us from Koshi, India, which is part of Kerala, India, and that's in that area. And oh, Ali does a lot of things that I can't wait for him to share with you. And maybe we'll just start right by saying hi, Ali, and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm so grateful.
I'm so happy to be reconnecting with you. And yeah, I'm just excited. That's all.
Yeah, no, me too. It feels like... It feels like I've known you for a long time. And then one of the interesting things that I find that has happened through Zoom and through pandemics and through social media is we can really connect with people. And then one day go, I have to think, have I actually met that person face to face yet? Because sometimes the connections can feel so great that I can forget, I haven't actually sat down across a table with a cup of tea with this person. That hasn't happened yet. So maybe one day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like some of the circumstances that bring people together like this, they are so synchronistic. And when you forget how you met, it's already an indication that it's amazing and it's meant to be. You know, it's when you cannot differentiate what's real, what isn't, but you feel the strong pull, this is where it's at.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. And that is true, because some of the best relationships, I think we have to, there might be some grand thing that happened, but yes, it's right. It's a natural flow. So I wanted to ask a little bit about, and we were talking earlier, but Ole Kuroshi, the foundation Ole Kuroshi is something that, you know, I was going to say that you created, and maybe it's just something that's been happening generationally in your family that you are now picking up the mantle and walking with it. That's what it sort of came to me as. I don't know if that rings true for you at all, but it just felt like it was more than something that was just suddenly created. It's something that's been for a while.
Well, thank you for that beautiful intuitive statement. Indeed, it was always there. It just took me time to uncover it, because it started from me being born in Ukraine and being raised by my mother without knowing who my father is, not knowing much about my father, only until I met him 20 years later by going back to Africa. And only when the lockdown took place in 2020 to go deeper into the villages. And just, I had this calling to go and help kids. And after my grandpa passed away, I knew that he was a teacher, one of the first teachers to help indigenous kids. So kids who, first generation of kids who are going to school, he was teaching them in those schools. And his father was the first teacher. So my grandfather's father was the first teacher that worked with colonialists from Germany. Germans colonized Tanzania at the time. And he was helping them while they were building schools and churches. So the churches were adjacent to schools. That's how the colonialism took place. And I didn't know any of this until I got there. And I had this calling out of the blue during the lockdowns. You don't know where to go. People tell you to sit still, quiet, blah blah blah, you know, be scared. And I thought, okay, I'll just go to Tanzania and do this calling. And so when I arrived, I encountered with the whole tribe, with the whole clan. And apparently there is Olekiroshi's in Longido, which is in north part of Tanzania. So I met them. I was invited to meet the elders, who also told me where to find the rest. And so that's how I continued with this. I created a website. I had somebody help me create a website called Olekiroshi. And through that website, I started creating fundraisings to help the schools with education. So whether that's building a water tank or bringing computers in, there was 1 year I spent so much time helping teachers to how to use computer because they just got electricity. They didn't have electricity,
Right.
and then they got electricity. And I saw it just so happens that I arrived at the right time to bring the computers right when the electricity was delivered from the state. So everything had that synchronicity. And it, but while being there, I realized how much of lineage there is, how much that I'm uncovering. And it was a very humbling experience. It really helped me to find life's purpose just by figuring out where my ancestors are from. So now half a year, I always go to Tanzania and I do something with schools. It started with one school, then it became four other extra schools, and then I came back to the first school. So it became this very shambolic dance of school experiences and helping different schools achieving different goals. But usually, mostly it has to do with water and tech. Lately, it's been more with water because of the drought. But my
Right.
last journey, the last journey, there were so much prayers that the drought is even gone. Like it rained so much that it was even challenging for me to get there. So it's been amazing. It's been really, really amazing.
It's so exciting, and I love there's so many things I love about your story. First, one thing that's, I mean, researching our ancestry and connecting with the ancestors is something that is very important to me, and I've been researching it a lot more lately. And in fact, in a few months, I'll be going to Scotland for my first time ever, and that's my ancestry is Scottish. But so when we start to dig that out, and maybe we'll chat about that late. Maybe that'll be another show. We'll talk about digging out our ancestry. But first, it's interesting to me. So you're born and raised in this country, not knowing anything about that, and yet somehow through this whole, pandemic lockdown, everybody's got to figure out the things that were beautiful that happened in that time. There's a whole lots of things to look at that weren't so great. But I think some of the really beautiful things that came out of that time were many of us dug a little bit deeper into who we are and what am I even here for? And that's one of the things that blossomed for you. And so Olekiroshi is your family name. And what, I don't even know if I asked you this already, but what does Olekiroshi mean? Because names have meanings typically.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. So ole means off. Like in English, there is something similar, like McAllister, McKillen, like or O'Brien.
Or MacDonnell or Mick or like a one of those little
Like there's
things.
a yeah. So that means off. Ole. Kiroshi means it actually translates as heavy, the one that can deal with heavy density. To it, when you translate it to Sanskrit, it means guru, which is funny. You know, it actually, when you translate this to Sanskrit or to Hindi, it has a it's people who are heavy, who can deal with heavy density.
Yes.
So the simple meaning is heavy, and that's what Kiroshi means. So when I met some of them, they are mostly all these elders. My grandfather was the elder of the clan within a tribe. and they always have the last say in the clan. So that's how they're known for it. And when I came to that, it was very humbling. And so when I came as Olekiroshi there, even though I don't speak the Maasai language, it's a very ancient language, it's very complicated. They recognize me as part of theirs, even though they call me Mzungu, which means a white guy, because everyone is dark. But in that region, they just call me by Olekiroshi because they know what people have brought to them in terms of education, in terms of wisdom, and so on.
Wow, so you, the fat you're so yeah. So you had no connection earlier, or well, there was a connection. That's not the word I want to use. You didn't have a known connection in terms of understanding or knowledge about where you came from, but you'd already been walking that out, really. When I think I met you before you went there, because I met you around that time. I met you before prior. Because we met through Julian Azucar, and that was the pandemic and things like that. And you were already walking very much in a way of serving and bringing awareness to things that you felt a deep connection and importance to, and spiritual matters and things like that. So it's interesting that whether you knew that was if you, whether you knew in your mind that that was the name that was over you or not, you were already walking in that, carrying that mantle.
Yes. Yeah, as you say, mantle. Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, even this is called shuka, the Maasai shuka, and this was given by one of the elders, feminine. So this is feminine. It's a teal color. And in Tanzania, there is actually saying you have to wear the right mantle. Like, you have to wear the right shuka for the right occasion to represent who you are and what you are. It took me a while to find out who I am by this lineage. And at the end of the day, I actually want to become nobody. You know, that's total, you know, when you find out what it is, what's there, then the journey is so and that's even more humbling experience. And that's what and when the soul searches, it finds. You know, there is an old Latin proverb, cacheret recheret, whoever seeks finds. So being a seeker is just so essential. And I really am happy for the lockdowns. It was the best time to just go and explore. You know, people who went on road trips and didn't care. We know all these people who've done all these out of the box things. And that's how we find each other. And I feel like when we really, really go deep, the enlightenment is inevitable. And it's a journey of enlightenment. It's not like you become enlightenment. It's a progression. It's a awakening. There is no such thing as I'm awakened or you are awakened. Awakening is a journey. And that awakening path just, you know, you're just elevating on certain frequencies. Sometimes you can fall, sometimes this, that, but there is this constant progression as long as you're searching for what's within. You open your heart. Basically, it's all about heart opening, and that's what it does. Ever since I've gone to Africa, ever since I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro with my sisters, it was a very profound journey. There was a moment when I ran out of breath because I was rushing and I fell on my knees, and it was just experience when I didn't listen to the elders because I was going too fast, and I passed out for 30 minutes. I was by myself. And when they caught up to me, the elder put a hand on my shoulder and said, "Pole pole," which means never, don't rush. Pole pole, take it slow. So ever since then, I just don't rush and I trust spontaneity. So that spontaneity is what really unlocks the deeper layers of wisdom, is by being spontaneous. And that's how I really live by, and it really creates this healing platform for everybody. Like when you go outside, I see God in everybody's face. Whether they don't look at me friendly or they look at me friendly, I see God within. And so there is no separation. And that's what one realization I've been coming that I wanted really to share. It's just philosophy, but is that we're all one, and it's just everyone we come in contact with, their different versions of ourselves, whether this lifetime or future, past, or another lifetime. So I don't see distinction between anybody. I just don't see difference between even the worst, let's say, potential enemy with the best friend. It's all one. So when you don't see that distinction, there is no way you even have any enemies because it's all one. And that realization has been coming over, over and over again, especially when I spend time at one of the temples here. You just feel oneness, especially with people that don't like eat much. I use with some of these rickshaws, I don't know how they're called. They don't eat anything, they just drink water for days. And when you just spend time near them, and they are in Africa, they're all over the place. They're just like these little monks. You realize the oneness. And that's what I feel more connected to. It's just oneness. I really love people who are triggering, who are trying to do all these things. It's amazing. These are the best teachers. And so that's why when you go into spontaneity, you learn so much through other people, and it opens your heart even more. And then you can touch and heal anybody because there's nothing that holds you. It's just it's a beautiful path. I cannot even explain, put it in words.
Oh, you said it well. You said it well, my friend. And I think that many people, I think around the world, or I imagine that tension that's happening right now between which is likely needed because, it takes sandpaper to smooth out rough edges. So it makes sense that when tensions come, because like you say, when we see each other and we recognize you're really not different than me, whatever, where you're from, what you look like, your experiences in life, we're all just this collection of energy and collection of experiences, and on different places, not necessarily a level, but different places and experiences. And then it makes it easier. I've been experiencing that more and more, much like what you're saying. Is you get a certain age, or you get to a certain place, or you get a certain amount of experiences, or we open ourselves up, and all of a sudden, it's gradual and it's sudden, the recognition of, oh, I get it. Even like what you're saying, even if a person, maybe what they represent or what they bring forward seems unkind or it seems harsh. And it's not excusing someone. There's just this understanding opens up that I think more with a compassionate heart for them now than I would have before. And what I think there was times in my life I would have felt more defensive when someone had that. I would have gone into my defense mode, right? Conquer, just defend myself. And now it feels more like I just. A child that I love just fell and hurt themselves. I see it more like that. I see more like what's coming out of you. It just seems like pain is coming out of them. And so it's just easier to extend grace and love and peace and healing. Anyways.
Thank you for saying it. Really, thank you for saying it. One of the most fundamental realizations you just mentioned is that to realize that everyone is in some sort of pain. You take any living being, any human, anyone has some kind of pain. Maybe a little bit in the hip, maybe a little bit in on this side, that side. And that's all psychosomatic. So that's responsible for some kind of emotions that they have experienced. It's been proven with quantum physics and all of that. So now imagine when you realize that everyone is some sort of pain. Of course, everyone can be triggered and say something out of pain. So, and when we offer that compassion, that buffer of safety, they can say anything they want. You just say, okay, I accept. That it is what it is. This is what brought me to this journey, is because over my whole lifetime, I was constantly in defensive mode, running away from neo-Nazis in Ukraine, skinheads. I was constantly attacked my whole childhood. I could not go to school. I have suffered body injuries. And so every day when I was walking outside, I was afraid that something's going to happen. I was afraid of for my life. And so for duration of 17 years living in Ukraine, that was my state. It was fear state and just ready to be attacked. And one of the biggest healing journeys that I had to embark on is getting away from the victimhood mentality. That was, and because often mentally you're not a victim, but you subjected to be a victim. And that's what really brought to the latter stages of personal growth and evolution, is getting rid of that mentality, just changing environment, finding ways to immigrate, become a refugee, which I was for 5 years of my life. I was refugee in four different camps. So it takes that journey to really self-reflect, and then, yeah, and then to go into compassion and everything, because you know how it is there and how you can be and how you cannot be. You can really choose what emotions you want to emit. So it's absolutely amazing. It's really humbling to even convey something like this, because these are really life essence. And when more people tap into this, the world really changes. And we are the beacons of light, so we don't have to do much. People just look and they change.
And they change. It's true. And much like what you're saying, it's really what this podcast was born out of, the Find Your Joy. It was born out of I was a co-author in three books, doing those collaborative books, right? And then I wrote my own book, and a lot of that was about trauma and healing and things. And what came to me about halfway through writing my book, and I know I've talked about it to so many people, but I got to this place, and we were in the middle of the pandemic. It was this time when I was healing from my brain injury, then my mom died, then my brother died, then my dad died. It was just, there was a lot of loss and pain, and I was healing from my own traumas. And then it just occurred to me, I thought, I can't look at pain anymore. I can't. I've got to just look at the side of joy, and that doesn't mean ignoring that pain is real, or ignoring that trauma happens, or that there's unkindness or injustice. It for me, what it means is this: is that the base of it all is I understand intimately that there is unkindness and pain in the world. Intimately, I understand that. I am choosing to find a place where we can, I don't know if even rise above it, but walk through it. Walk through it. And is because I because when I think of rising above it, it's somehow looking down on it. And sometimes right in the midst of the pain, we need to still walk through that and find joy in the moments, remember what is good and true and lovely in life, in the world. And that's so when you're saying that, I respect your I don't know, I guess it's the choices. I guess we get to a place where there is no more choice, right? It almost feels like that when we've got to this place where it feels like we're stripped of our humanity, then to embrace love and joy and forgiveness and hope and peace and all of that, I don't, it's as much as I need oxygen. Like you help to supply children and families with water, and I'm thinking, Yes, that's the whole thing. We need oxygen, we need water, and we need this place of joy and peace in our lives. And that seems to be something that you're it's almost singular focus.
Absolutely. One of the key things to realize, even in situations when you deliver water or you do this or you expose yourself to different dangers, because people know that you're working with the money that can buy things and maybe they can
Right.
use it for something else. There was one even situation where I was almost kidnapped. That was 1.5 years ago when I went there, and I realized that there are some places sometimes you want to overstretch yourself and you want to you operate on the edge. Like I was running on the edge and I wanted to stretch myself too thin, like just give myself so much that there is nothing left for me.
Yes.
And this is these are the moments when there was a big test and I didn't show any fear. And somehow there was someone who saved me and everything. There was a woman who just walked by accident. She happened to be a witness, so they didn't do anything. That's when you feel like the adrenaline is so high, and it's like life is right there on. It's like on the scale, and you feel when you give more love, even in those toughest moments. You give love for the people that are trying to do what they do to hurt. You realize the eternity of love, and you realize how temporary fear is. Fear is so freaking temporary, and love is so extremely eternal. It's during those moments you have those realizations that, oh my God, really, do what you want with me. I'm fine. It's going to be fine. And so that's when you start to connect even deeper with people you create healthier boundaries with everyone. People that don't resonate on the same frequency, you kind of let them go. And those that are resonating. There is a beautiful saying from Africa that says, there is no time to wake up the sheep. It's time to wake up with lions, because there's people there is a separation, it's part of that separation, but there certain people are have to operate on more frequency that is just very primal and very very materially attuned, so that's where a lot of negative emotions are. And then
Right.
when you elevate, you will see how, and that's why I've been pondering upon this. And the last few trips in Africa, I've seen how some schools, I cannot even go there as much because the energy is just very heavy. And no matter how much you help, it's not going to reciprocate energetically. And then there are some schools you come, and kids just, they believe that
Right.
something's going to happen. And
Interesting.
that sense of belief
Interesting.
really elevates you more, and you do more. And I remember there was one school I went, it felt, there was such a big hopelessness in the air that it was challenging for me to even do anything. And I haven't done anything with that school until this year I came, and it so happens that it rained for the first time in a year or something. And I delivered the tank and I felt like, oh my God, good. I did it easy and it was good. And now I can move on to something else. I just
Right.
let it go because it's been stuck with me for 2 years. For 2 years, I had no way how to approach the school mentally, physically, logistically. I just didn't have it. And this time I just
Right.
did everything within a few days and it just worked out. And the conditions were better. But the vibration is still nowhere near some of the schools that I've been, even with some challenges they're facing. So every
Right.
environment is different, and you have to really pick and choose where you belong more with them and where they belong to you.
Oh, that That really resonates with me a lot. I know even with people in my life, if I sometimes I have to back away from things, it's not that I don't love them. It's just that it's I can see that maybe someone else is going to be the better person and that might be a better fit in that situation. It's not about me and them. It's just about, oh, okay, so if I'm trying to force this thing or I'm feeling hurt or whatever, you know, there's a whole bunch of words I could add to that, but maybe someone else is the better fit.
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. And th this is why, with some people, we spend a little bit more time at the dinner table. With some people, 5 minutes is more than enough. And it's the same thing I found myself with schools. You know, some schools they feel home. They feel like, wow, you know, they even came up with some of the songs for me personally, or they are like spontaneously having this resonance because it's thousand kids, you know, and in some places they really feel they can touch you. They really have the courage to just hang out, and some are a little bit more distant. I've seen so many different things, and I've come to realization frequency exists, vibrations exists,
Absolutely.
and everything else exists because it comes in the songs that they sing,
Yes.
and how they sing. And goodness me, like the last trip I put people, I have this bed of nails with me that I travel with. It's a sharp thing people stand on, and it helps to invoke some consciousness to the surface. Like you go through pain and you do healing because pain comes up to the surface. So I put elders on bed of nails. I put kids. And in Tanzania, all of them have stood the longest ever. Like I put some really spiritual advanced people, the kids and elders beat them. So, because there is a level of surrender. That level of surrender is so high that, oh my God, you know,
And what we're used to.
yes, but yes. So surrendering to uncomfortable situations, to pain, this is where it's at. You know, it's just there's just so much.
It is. So I wanted to make sure that we did talk a little bit about the because you do fundraising for to raise money for technology and mostly water, but also technology if there's enough left over. And so how does that look? So how does that look exactly internationally? Like, are you a registered charity? Is this a grassroots thing? Is it how do people partner with you to do what you're doing?
So, there is a nonprofit that has registered 501(c), one of those things. And if there is a bigger amount, they receive and then they allocate to me. For example, the last trip, I received most of the fundraising by one organization. Goodness me, I'm so bad with names, but they just sent me, they just wired me the money. And all they did, they just asked for photos and things like that. And then the rest, I did fundraising on GoFundMe. I used to do Facebook fundraiser during 2020. But now, if you're independent, you have to form a big organization for Facebook fundraisers. So Facebook fundraisers don't work anymore. But when they worked, it was the best way because it was like more interactive and people see the progress. But yeah, I just do it. I post it, and obviously it's much better to collaborate with organizations who are interested to help. But let me tell you, it's been so sporadic, so random, and thankfully that one organization, which I will link later, they just committed and they helped, and then the rest some of my friends help, and it just works out. It
It's
just always
beautiful.
works out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I like about that, well, two things. Because people who either are want to give a larger amount or feel more comfortable when they have a number that's attached to it, they can go that route. So that works for them. But what I like about this is, how do I say this? It reminds me of, if you see someone needs something, they could use a help. They could use a hand up, right? You could go to a moving company and you could hire those people and they could move those people. Or you could say, hey, a buddy of mine is moving and needs some help. And we all show up with boxes and trucks. And we move that person in that day. And that's how most of the things in my life have occurred. So if I hope that's the thing that it reminds me of is that there's both ways work, but most of us in our life, and when something really happens, is because somebody just goes, I see this thing that needs to be done, and so I'm just doing this thing. And I just watching you over the years and knowing enough people that know you personally and things like that, I have a very high trust level with everything that's going on with what you're doing. But what it reminds me of very much is I'm driving down the road, someone has a flat tire, I get out, I help them. We don't fill out paperwork. They just needed that. Or I'm driving down the road and someone, their battery's dead, and they need us to all get behind them and push their car until they could jump start it. Maybe that's dating me a little bit because, when we all had standard cars and we used to do, there's just things that we used to do so naturally. And on an international, stage, when my kids were young and they said, well, why would we get involved if this is happening there? And I said, well, I guess in a way it's like this. If the person that lived in the house beside us was being robbed, would we phone the police to help that stop? Or if someone was hurting them, would we go over there and try to stop it? It's like that. We help our neighbors, we help each other, and
We do.
sometimes that's in a great big fancy way. Most often where it's really useful is when someone just comes in, walks alongside us and says, what would be helpful here? Oh, you need water. Okay, let me see what I can do about that. And that's what I see a lot of what you're doing is you're the guy that pulled over and helped somebody change their tire. You're the guy that helped push their car till they could get the jump start. And more importantly, you're the guy that showed up when they needed water.
Thank you. That's exactly it. And there is no intention to scale it or like to save the whole continent.
Yes,
None of, it's people have been telling, oh, maybe you should open bigger organization, more
yeah.
sponsors, more this, more that. No, I'm just doing it because there is passion for certain areas,
Yeah.
villages, people, because it's like, imagine you have, instead of 10 friends, you have 10,000 friends. It's not gonna work this way. Like you start forgetting who is who, and it becomes less personal, it becomes more commercial. So I really love certain villages that I go and
Yes.
I help them because there is very profound connection that hasn't been existing anywhere else. And it was the first school that I found that really. They just, and it was because that lockdown really made people more, I want to say, yes, compassion, but even more sensitive to others. And that
Yes.
sensitivity during that time has not been forgotten. So whatever happened during that time, how I made it there, the memory is really strong. Some teachers have gone, some kids have gone, but the spirit remains. And that spirit of the place and the energy that has been created, it's always there. It has become like a
Yes.
vortex. So I'm just yeah, that's why there's, it's just very chill. Just happens. For example, there is one someone reached out to me saying, "Hey, I'm ready to do." I'm someone from the States said, "I want to do art somehow, art collaboration. I'll supply the finances to get the art, and then I want kids to draw something, and just send me a photo." I haven't done it yet, but I found the school that is open to do it, and logistically, I just have to be there and spend time delivering the supplies. So next time I go there from probably from India or God knows from where, that will be like a side project to see kids draw anything because there is no art supplies. They haven't drawn anything. In fact, a year before that, I gave some kid, I don't know, equivalent of half a dollar for them drawing me. They drew something on paper, so I gave half a dollar, and then the whole school started selling fruits to buy some pens and colored pencils to draw me art piece so I can give them some money, and then they use that money to buy more supplies. So it became like this crazy thing. And I'm like, man, I first of all, the teachers didn't know what to do because there's just too much paper and too much of things going on. So I said, no, okay, we're stopping that. So I will approach it differently. We'll have a sponsor to do art, and we'll have the best art taking photos and deliver it. So that's another project that will be coming out besides water. And I feel
That's
like
brilliant, though. They're it and their little entrepreneurial minds that they sorted out. Okay, that they could, that made money to buy that, and then we could do
Yes.
that to make more money to do that. So that's it's really quite brilliant and entrepreneurial. I love that.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. So we'll make sure. I'm sadly we're getting to the end of this. I'm like, oh my goodness, it goes so fast. So Ali, what I'll do is I'll make sure that in all the show notes that people will have ways to connect and contact you if they would like to, and they'll know exactly your website, how to donate. And whether it's now, it could be for art supplies, it could be for water, it could be for tech stuff. So there's no shortage of things that people could benefit from having that would be useful. So they I, this is just I love that you just not just isn't the word. I love that you opened your eyes, you looked around, you listened with your heart and your mind and your spirit and all of you, and you went and found what needed to be for you and what needed to be for them. And that's really beautiful.
I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you seeing me and reflecting back. It feels very honoring and dignifying to be on a land where they have recorded the oldest DNA of humankind that is there. That's where that started. And you see some people with like skulls that are this way and that way, they're shaped in like aliens. So when I'm there, I definitely know that I'm touching something untouched in this humanity, that I have access to this. And I'm really, really grateful to be able to uncover some of the ancestral knowledge and bring it to the surface, some healing techniques, or just being able to channel, because elders don't tell you anything. You just sit down with them and something gets downloaded to you. As long as you're open to it.
Yes.
So any of the information that I have been sharing just came through some channels and contemplation. So I'm very, very happy and thank you for having me. I always look forward to connect with my namesake.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So, Ali, thank you. And to our listeners, thanks so much for hanging out with us for a little while today. And there will be opportunities. If you would love to partner with Ali and the things that he's doing, I will make sure in the show notes that you have ways to be able to do that. And there's all kinds of ways you can, there's monetary ways, there's prayer, there's just sending love and energy his way. Monetary is really good, though. That helps to buy things that are much needed. So, all of that. Thanks for hanging out with us today. This is Allie, and do remember to find your joy. Thanks so much for joining me today. If you found a piece of your joy in this episode, I would love to hear about what came up for you so that we can continue to grow the impact of this show. Thanks again. See you soon. And remember, find your joy.